Isn't it good to once again be in the house of the Lord? I want to, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you, each and every one of you, for your thoughts and prayers during this difficult time we've had for the last couple of weeks. And it's those thoughts and prayers and the trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that has got us through this time and it will continue to strengthen us as the days go on. So we got a lot of things going on in our church within the next few weeks here. It's that time of year. Things are getting close to a charge conference. We're also collecting supplies for the homeless shelters. Cleaning supplies is the things that they need most. But also coming up next Sunday will be All Saints Sunday, along with our birthdays and anniversary celebration, and the dedication of the new Becky Clark Library. And as I understand it, some of Becky's family is going to be here. They're coming from out of state, but will be celebrating with us as we dedicate this library. Then on the 31st, Halloween evening, we'll be doing a trunk or treat, which is what we have normally been doing on Halloween night. And somebody told me this morning that the possibility of rain. Well, I said, well, that's nothing unusual. We got rained out last year. So if it rains, we'll have to do like we did last year, close up and leave. So, but anyway, maybe it'll come in early and leave early. One other thing I want to call your attention to is November the 6th. That's Fall Back. Daylight Savings Time ends on November the 6th. And then the following Sunday, November the 13th, is our charge conference. So if you have a part in filling out forms and doing things for the charge conference, you need to get on the website and get those forms filled out. If you need any help, give me a call. I'll help you the best I can do that, best I can. Are there any other announcements before we turn our attention to our prayer corner?
Yes,
Jerry,
we'll have a meal next Sunday.
Right. Next Sunday, there will be the fellowship meal for birthdays and anniversaries, and also for the dedication of the Becky Clark Library.
And the ham will be furnished, and the chicken fingers, and also small. So mainly, and the dessert. So you just need to bring vegetables.
Something
to go with ham. And chicken
fingers
as well.
Mm-hmm. Bring a vegetable tray. Green beans, potato salad.
Yeah.
I'm making myself hungry. Okay. Ham and chicken fingers and coleslaw will be supplied. Okay. Anything else? If not, let's do turn our attention now to our prayer corner. And Lynn just told me a few minutes ago that Carol Abey has been tested positive for COVID. I didn't know that until just a few moments ago. So let's remember Carol Abey in our prayers and meditations this coming week. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We talked to her last night.
She's still
doing fine. She feels fine, but she's still testing positive. So she said, hopefully by next week the negative will catch up with a good feeling and she'll be back.
Well, great. Right. It affects different people different ways.
And Don and I this week got another booster shot, so hopefully we're in good shape.
You're in the clear. You got your second booster. You and Don, great. We were on our way to get ours, or we were planning for a particular day to go do our second booster shot, and then that morning we tested positive. So now we got to wait about 3 weeks, I believe is what the people said. that I have to wait about 3 weeks before you get that second booster now. Okay. Anything else, though? Anybody have anything else they want to say about what's on their prayer list? Oh, good to see Gene Turnmeyer here with us this morning. Gene has gotten good reports that things have cleared up and his lungs up here. They're still concerned about one little spot down here, and he's going to look into that next month. And just thanks be to God that Gene's able to be here with us today. Anything else? Okay, Pastor.
You know, we always have, as we get older, things don't work as well as they used to. And I couldn't hear what Claire was saying. And I thought she said, we got our rooster shot. No. When did you start getting rooster shots? So that was, sorry I misinterpreted that. But yeah, we need to get our shots and stay on top of that. I'm going to share something with you that before I get into the prayer. Many of you know that I have worked with hospice over the last 3 months. It'll be 3 months come the 1st of November. And at the urging and suggestion by Miss Maxine back here. It has been an experience beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I've worked now with 4 different chaplains in the hospice care unit. This week I had a choice between 3 other chaplains, and I chose to work with what they call the Cardinal Kids. Cardinal Kids is a program set up for families of terminally ill children. And so I spent this week traveling with the chaplain to several families in the area. My first one was right here in Grand Falls. And got a chance to get involved with their lives and where they are going, where they have been with the sickness of their child. And the thing that I kept hearing all week long for every family was that they were grateful for their faith, that their faith brought them through these times together. And I kept waiting to hear, I have faith, but I didn't hear that. People that should be angry at the world, should be angry at God. All I heard was the fact that this is God brought us through this. He continues to bring us through this. And we rest in our faith and in His arms. And that was the lesson that I learned this week. And as we got ready to leave, one particular family, ladies, the mothers, tears streaming down her face, and we hugged each other. And she said, I just want to remind you, preacher, take this message back to your church, that all is well in my soul. And that's when I came up with the idea why God gave us tears. Let's go around a little prayer. Father, we sit quietly here in the sanctuary of your church. It has been a home to us for many, many, many years. And while we may be few, your disciples were few, but we stay united together in the bond of faith and love. And while there's not a person here that has not shed a tear at the loss of a loved one, we're coming to understand and really understand what it means to look to you for guidance and strength as we uncover the fact that you too, Father, have shed tears with us. Father, we ask your continued guidance and strength for our community leaders, especially in time of election when so many things could be decided. But we we thank you for this thing we call democracy. That we, the people, get to choose our leaders. And we pray, Father, that we choose the ones that hold you in their hearts. Now, Father, guide us throughout the service. Open our hearts and minds to the message you would have for us to hear today. And let us remember those sacred words that you taught us so long ago when your disciples said, Lord, how do we pray? And you said to say these words. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Let us stand now as we sing, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, at verses 1, 2, and 6. Let us stand.
Was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
At a time like this, so much sickness, so much things going on, our soul needs to be still, doesn't it? And trust God. Leave to your God.
think the words of that song pretty much says it all. Well, Satan is not here again, and I'm sending him to twist his back or something, but we're going to see him this afternoon. I'll find out more about it. So I'll be reading the scripture passage coming from Psalm 56. Now, let me give you some background. This psalm was written, like a lot of psalms, by David, King David himself. And at this particular time, David had been captured by the Philistines in a town called Gath. And needless to say, he was being treated unmercifully by the Philistines. He doesn't go into detail about what was happening to him. But obviously they were tormenting him in some way, shape, or fashion. And David sat down and wrote the psalm in the middle of his trials. He wrote, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man will swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies will hound me all day. For there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape my iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. You put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. So what can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O Lord. I will render your praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
There's not a person in this room that has not experienced loss of a loved one one form or another. And we might even often ask ourselves at times in our darkest nights, when we look around, we have these feelings of agony and of grief and of pain, we might ask ourselves, "Lord, where are you?" When the storms of life hit us and we feel the pain in our hearts and grief and the feeling of loneliness, and we bring all our memories together, those of us may have asked this question more than once: where is God in the midst of my pain? I, like you, and millions of others, have experienced the same bouts, the same questions, the same feelings of anger and frustration, and asking the question, "God, where are you?" In his book entitled A Grace Disguised, Jerry Sitter talks about this very same question. You see, he lost his mother, his wife, and daughter in an instant in a car accident. All three were killed. And as he struggled with the question, why, he made this statement. He said, "I see my faith now as an ally rather than an enemy, because I could vent my anger towards God. I could scream, I could shout, I could curse at him without the feeling of retribution. It's okay." You see, God's love is greater than your pain. This is what David was saying in Psalm 58 or 56. He was talking about his loneliness and his torment by the Philistines. And he cried out to God about his tears. And the part I want you to hear is this, in verse 8, how God placed his tears in a bottle. You have kept counting of my tossing back and forth, asleep, can't sleep. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not now in your book? This I know, that God is for me, and God whose word I praise in the Lord, I shall not be afraid. I want you to let that sink in just a minute. Think about that. Every tear you have ever shed has been kept in a bottle by God Himself. He records them. He knows what it's like to feel pain. He knows what it's like to feel loneliness. He knows what it's like to cry. Getting back to my week at hand, as I was unprepared for what I was about to see and about to experience, I knew in my mind I was going to families whose children were very sick and very ill, and many of them terminal. But I wasn't prepared to deal with this thing called faith when it came to their families. I just had a hard time connecting all the dots. I want to talk to you about Ellie. Family lived right here in Grand Falls. Mother's name is Jody, father's is Tim, and they have a little brother named Robbie, who's 10. Ellie had a disease called Batten's disease. I've never heard of it before. But it comes from the parents who have a bad gene, and they pass it on to their child. But not always every child is conceived. Ellie was a 5-year-old, precocious little lady that just bounced off the walls. Beautiful dark brown hair, big beautiful brown eyes, and a mouth that always chattered. See, mom said she talked all the time. She talked to herself, she talked to her teddy bears, she talked to her animals, she talked to anybody who listened, she talked to the wall. It didn't matter, she just spoke. And she was so full of life and bounced around through the house. And when the disease began to progress, and all that energy and life seemed to have left her body, they put her in the adult's bedroom, and they put her in her husband's and her bed in the middle. And they prayed, and they cried. And as Ellie took her last breath, mother held her hand and kissed her hand and said goodbye. Not goodbye forever, but goodbye to her time here on earth. And she could say also goodbye to the pain, goodbye to the sickness, goodbye to the drugs, goodbye to the oxygen wires. And now my little girl was free to bounce against the roads of heaven. And I remember sitting there for 2.5 hours listening to her tell stories about Ellie. Then she brought out this beautiful portrait and she showed us of this beautiful little lady whose mouth was always open. And as we got ready to leave, I was counting the tears that she shed that ran down her cheek. I was looking over at Katie, the chaplain, and she was crying and I was crying. And I remember, as we walked down the steps, I looked at her and we just hugged. And she put back at me and she said, "Preacher, don't worry. Our faith is keeping us together. Our faith is keeping us together." And then we went across down to Newton. and met a little lady named Candy. Candy was a one-year-old who also has this dreaded disease. Isn't she beautiful? She's celebrated her first birthday just this past week. And we sat there and talked to Mother Brandy. And she just sat there and said, feeding tubes coming up under the oxygen running through her nose. And I sit there and I try to imagine the pain and the heartbreak this family must be going through. And I heard the same story all over again. Hey, it's okay. And things are going to be okay. Because our faith is holding us together. And then we went to Gastonia and met another family. Father's name was Chris, mother's name was Wendy, older family. They had sons, one was 18 or 17, and one was 21, Jeremy and Jordan. Again, they inherited this bad disease. And as Chris told me, he said, I have a bad gene, Wendy has a bad gene, and the kids ended up getting this bad gene. I think it was an extra chromosome. And as we sat and talked around 2 hours around the table, they shared their story with us. And then we went upstairs and met Jeremy. And he's 21 years old. He weighs about 60 pounds. Curled up in the bed with a big smile on his face. And around the room with these big, huge portraits of the family that had gone to Disney World. On Make-A-Wish Foundation, the whole family. It shows a picture of Jeremy kissing a dolphin. And Jordan playing in the waves. They lost Jordan 2 years ago. And they don't expect Jeremy to live through Christmas. And the same story again. God is going to get us through this. We put our faith in Him. Because we know that someday when Jeremy leaves us, He's going to leave us and be free of all this pain and these feeding tubes and these oxygens. And He will walk with His brother someday and we'll be up there with Him. It's okay. We shed our tears, but we shed our tears together as one. And then I remembered about Jesus. And I looked up and I found three different stories where Jesus shed His tears. In John, we read this story. Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw Him, fell at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if You had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. When Jesus looked at her and saw her weeping, and the Jews around Him saw her weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit, and He asked, where have You laid them? Where have You laid Him? They said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And Jesus wept. And the Jews said, oh, see how He loved Him. Another time when Jesus was outside the walls of Jerusalem, the place where He would be crucified, He looked down at the city at night and He said these words coming from Luke, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who were sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, you would not. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept, saying, that even today you knew the things that make for peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. Jesus cried over Lazarus. Jesus cried over the people of Jerusalem because he could see their sin, both past and future, and it broke his heart. Just as a loving father loves his children, Jesus hated to see them turn their backs on him and on the very foundation of their faith. And then we all know the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. How he took his disciples and left them there, and took another group and left them there. He went up and fell on his face, looking up to heaven and crying tears of blood and saying, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. Every tear of a son of mankind is a tear from God himself. As a great philosopher once said, Emmanuel Levinas said this, no tear should be lost, and no death should remain without resurrection. I read briefly one time where he said, you know why we cry? It's a gift from God. He said, because when you see, someone sees tears running down their face, it's a sign for us to want to be there for them. So our nature is to simply hug them and to help wipe away their tears and to be there and to listen to them and to listen to their stories and to share in their pain. This is what God does for us. If we can just somehow grasp the full meaning of his love. How beautiful does this make our Lord? Knowing that he too shared in our love. He shared in our pain. He shared in our loneliness. And he kept all our tears in a bottle. Could we have anyone but God himself love us the way he has done? Jesus understands more than we realize. The psalm is a gentle reminder of David's pain and our pain and our Lord's pain. It's a reminder how the tear escapes God that he doesn't share in. And when we shed those tears, there'll be a time when he will wipe them away. And we too will walk free from the agony of grief. I'd like to close with this poem. The author is unknown, but I want to close with this. I think it kind of sums everything up. Tears leave our eyes, having risen from our soul as expression of our spirit. There is nothing more beautiful that shines in us than our tears. They are crystallized from our grief. See, if we love our God unconditionally, we will be blessed with even greater love, which will give us power to our tears. It is the power of that love that allows us to bear the sadness of this world and have it washed away. It is that same love, that same tears, that same power that fills our soul and waters our life like the flowers in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us stand as we sing Soldiers of Christ Arise, 1, 2, and 3.
permission that lies before us. Now, beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And be with you, you're rising up and you're lying down. And your labor and your leisure and your laughter and in your tears. And the day when you see Jesus, on the day when there's no sunset and no dawn. Amen.
I'm going to call Charlie to my dinner.